It's the 2-Minute Beer Review, live from Dust Bowl Brewing Company in Turlock, California. My name is Andrew Burkham, and I'm here today live with you, and not just with you, but with my friend Scott Chafee from Dust Bowl, and he's here to chat with us a little bit about the brewery, as well as the Resilience IPA project that we've been talking about recently. So, Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having us. Thanks for coming out to Dust Bowl. We enjoy having you out.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much. First and foremost, the facility here obviously is beautiful out here right off the 99 freeway. Everything, you know, it's an amazing space. I know you've been for, how long have you been out here again?
I've been with Dust Bowl for 7 years now. Dust Bowl's been around for almost 10. We're coming up on our 10-year anniversary in May 2019.
Incredible. And how about the location here? Because I know you had the downtown location earlier.
Yeah, so, just kind of the evolution. We started with a small little 10-barrel brew house across town in just an industrial area. About a year and a half into the company, we started a tap room downtown, which is where most people started to become familiar with us. And then we opened this facility in summer 2016. So, probably 2.5 years now we've been in here.
Awesome. It is incredible. And if you're in the area, definitely come down and check this place out. I mean, it is beautiful. There's indoor seating. There's outdoor seating. They've got giant games of things out here. There's cornhole. It's crazy. It's amazing. I know that sometimes you get different events that come in here. It's kind of a hub of activity for this part of the Central Valley. So.
It is, yeah. Obviously, we're one of the few local craft breweries here and along Highway 99 in the Central Valley. We definitely have the largest facility that's able to accommodate lots of people, lots of different kinds of fun, whether it's families coming in, a bunch of guys coming in wanting to hang out and play corner all day, come do brewery tours on the weekend. You know, we try to have it be a little bit for everybody.
It's awesome, man. It's really incredible. So, Scott, first and foremost, I mean, tell me a little bit about yourself. I know that you said you've been with the company for 7 years.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and kind of what your background is and your connection to the company.
So I was lucky enough to have a fraternity brother who works for Gallo now that taught me how to homebrew about 15, 16 years ago.
Cool.
So I've been a brewer for quite a while. That really kind of piqued my interest and my passion. So I was managing a website in Modesto area. It was called Beer on the Wall.
Oh.
That was just kind of an online craft beer retailer, one of the early ones.
Cool.
One day my UPS driver showed up and told me there was this brewery starting in Turlock. And like most people, when you hear that there's a brewery in Turlock, you thought he was full of it. I looked up their ABC license number, gave him a call, left a voicemail. It turned out that the person who called me back was Don Oliver, our brewmaster, who's one of the founders of our company. And he and I had grown up together. We had gone to high school together. We hadn't seen each other in 15 years.
Oh, wow.
So we reconnected that way. Within about a year of that reconnection, I came over and started working in the brewery. Part-time packaging, cleaning kegs, driving a forklift, whatever they needed, and the other part-time trying to sell beer. And as we've gotten bigger and bigger now, Don and I like to joke about it. He makes beer, I sell beer. I'm either out on the road or working with our team to try and expand our distribution and spread the love of Dust Bowl.
That's awesome, man. Now, you talk about distribution a little bit, right? And I know that distribution is, you're obviously local for us here in the Central Valley, but your distribution spreads far beyond where we're at. Where are you guys at right now? If my listeners want to go out and find your beers, what states do they have to go to?
So we have most of California covered. California's a big state, so there's still a few gaps there. We're not down in San Diego yet, but we did just recently launch the LA market.
Awesome.
We're obviously throughout the Central Valley. We're in the Bay Area. We're in the North Bay, we're in Sacramento market, we're in the Sierra foothills, Sierra Nevadas, we're in Reno, Vegas, little bit in Vermont, and we also launched the state of Oklahoma this last year, which was an important state for us because of the Dust Bowl history with our company.
That's a perfect segue, actually. So get a little bit into that with me. Talk to me a little bit about the history of the company and that connection specifically.
So, as I'm sure some of your listeners are aware, during the late 1930s, we had one of the worst man-made ecological disasters in the history of the United States. That was the Dust Bowl. And it was created out in states like New Mexico, Northern Texas, Oklahoma. It basically forced people to leave their farms and move west and try and start over. And a whole lot of those families settled in the Central Valley. If you talk to a lot of people who have been in the Valley for a few generations, from Bakersfield all the way to, you know, Stockton along Highway 99, there's a lot of farmers in this area that can trace their roots back to kind of the migration west, leaving the Dust Bowl. Our owner, Brett Tate, his grandparents were one of those. So Grandpa Tate, as he's affectionately referred to around here, moved his family west in the late 30s, settled here in the Turlock area. So Brett's a third or fourth generation Tate now out here. And when he started Dust Bowl, he had been a teacher and coach for about 20 years. He enjoyed doing it, but he wanted to, I don't think he wanted to deal with kids for the rest of his life. So he wanted to get into something fun. Lord knows he didn't realize that by opening a brewery, he's just going to deal with a bunch of big kids. So.
Right.
So he started this up, and it was a way to kind of tell his family's story. So, you know, the Dust Bowl name, a lot of our beers, you know, obviously our first beer, Hops of Wrath, great Steinbeck reference. You know, we've had beers, Black Blizzards and Imperial Stout referencing the Dust Storms, Great Impression referencing the era, all kinds of different, you know, kind of good little Dust Bowl names. And then we also have fun with names like Therapist and Dump Truck of the Gods and Soul Crusher.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't talk about this a whole bunch on the show, but you literally just referenced three of my favorite beers on the planet.
I know you're a big Therapist fan. The first time I became aware of you was, I think I told you when you came and reviewed our Brazilian Therapy, and you said obviously some really nice things about that beer, but you talked about Therapist being one of your favorite Imperial IPAs, and so definitely appreciate the love.
It's great. It's great. And we just talked about the Black Blizzard as well, and the whole team is just really impressed. In general, no question that Dust Bowl puts out one of the best products anywhere that we've experienced, let alone here in the Central Valley. I mean, it's amazing to have something that's this quality in terms of product here in the Central Valley. Taking a spin on that, what do you feel like if I was going to ask you, hey, what makes Dust Bowl different from the other craft breweries that are in this area or around the nation, what do you feel like is your guys' trademark?
It's a few things, actually. Our brewmaster, Don, I think, is one of the most talented brewers on the West Coast. You know, for those of you who don't know his backstory, he was a home brewer, won the Sam Adams Long Shot competition, went to UC Davis. When he finished UC Davis, took his brewers and distillers exam, got the highest score in the world that year. You know, this is the guy who finished all the math our high school had to offer when we were growing up as a freshman. So he walks in the room and he's one of those guys who knows he's the smartest guy in the room. So with that intelligence and also military background comes real focus for quality control and balance. That's one of the things I use to describe Don's beers all the time. We don't really chase extreme flavors, even though we make some extreme beers as far as high alcohol and bitterness and stuff. We try to always make the style balanced for the style it's supposed to be.
Right.
He hides alcohol really well. That's why people like beers like Black Blizzard and Therapist and Soul Crusher, because he can make a 10, 11, 12% beer and it's dangerously drinkable.
Oh, yes.
So those are kind of the two things that I always say are our hallmark is balance and drinkability for big beers. We also tend to skew a little more traditional. I know right now, you know, obviously in craft beer, there's a lot of innovation. People always trying new ingredients, new styles. We love that, embrace that as well. But we also have a lot of respect for the classic styles. We still love a good Munich Helles or German-style Pilsner or a British Mild.
Yeah.
A classic West Coast-style IPA.
Yeah.
Clear beer. Everybody, clear beer. you know, we love those styles.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing that makes me think about is some of your partnerships, and we're going to get into the resilience piece in a second, but you've had some other partnerships. You play nice in the space, right?
With other
breweries.
We try. You know, you're still running a business, obviously. Sure. You know, you've got competitors out there, but the nice part about the craft beer community, like I was telling you, is it's kind of a close-knit group of friendly competitors. So, we try to play by the unwritten rules that were designed before we even came into the business. You know, breweries like Sierra Nevada and Stone and New Belgium and all these guys who have been around forever that kind of created the foundation for what we're now able to do. We try to, you know, stay respectful for what they built.
That's awesome. That's really, really, really cool. So let's use that as a segue then. Let's talk about resilience. And I think the actual title is like 15 words long, right? It's like it's resilience, Butte County Proud IPA, right?
That's correct.
The full title of the beer. So talk to me about this project in general and then your specific involvement with it as Dust Bowl.
Okay, so the project in general, I think anybody who's a part of the craft beer community will echo this. I don't know if anybody but Sierra Nevada could have pulled this off. They're kind of the godfather of the industry. Yeah. And they've maintained, as they've gotten bigger and bigger and more successful, they've still maintained this level of integrity when it comes to craft beer and what it's about.
Yeah.
And so all breweries really, you know, kind of look up to them. So when obviously their home area, you know, was devastated a month and a half ago by the fires. I mean, one of the worst fires in the history of the United States.
Yes.
You know, it's, at one point, I think I heard that fire was moving at a football field every 3 seconds or something like that.
Gosh.
So when that hit their home area, everyone was kind of looking to them, especially after what Russian River was able to pull off last year with the fires in Napa, and they kind of spearheaded that project with the, you know, the Sonoma County IPA. So there was already a precedence for it. I think Sierra Nevada, by reaching out to every brewery in the United States, really kind of put it out there. And I think at this point, there's over 1,300 breweries in the United States that are making this beer now.
Yeah, I think like actually like 100 were added just this last week. So we're now over 1,400 breweries.
Yeah, so that's insane.
Crazy, right? I mean, that's it's well over 20% of the entire the craft brewery market in general.
And every dime is going to get donated to, you know, it's going to end up being, I think, one of the largest charitable contributions from an industry, you know. An industry of competitors all working together to all donate money for the same cause, even breweries as far away as the East Coast who have never been to Paradise in their life. They don't know these people. They don't know where Paradise is. They couldn't point it out on a map. But that's, again, one of the things that I love about this community. Craft beer is it's made up of some good people.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. And I know that you mobilized quickly, right? So give me a peek into the behind the scenes, right?
So it was a Friday night. Uh-huh. Ken Grossman, I want to say it was somewhere between like 4 and 6 o'clock on a Friday night, finally released a letter through social media. Mm-hmm. Randy, who runs our social media department, had texted me about it. She had already picked up on it. Some people had started tagging us. You know, some of our fans mm-hmm. had seen it and started tagging us. Dust Bowl, are you going to do this? Are you going to do this? I had friends texting me that night. My sales rep in Sacramento was already contacting me and saying, we need to talk to Don about this.
Cool.
And within a couple of hours, Randy started a group text with our owners, our marketing team, our sales team, our brewers. Mm-hmm. And within a couple of hours, it was already a no-brainer. We were going to do it.
Amazing.
If Sierra Nevada's organizing it, then we know it's going to be handled well.
Right.
So yeah, it did come together really quick. And I think it was probably a similar experience for most breweries. I don't think that was unique to us. I think most breweries within 24 hours knew we're on board. We're going
to
do this.
Man, that's really, really cool. Just the response of that community to something that's going on like this. You're right. There's something special about the craft brew community.
There is, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's getting competitive out there. It's getting harder and harder, but everyone still plays nice in the same sandbox.
I love it. So how does this work, right? So Grossman, he sends out this letter, and then there's a recipe that goes along with this, right?
Yeah, they basically sent us the recipe, and it was fairly basic, straightforward West Coast style IPA.
Cool.
Classic West Coast style.
Love it.
You got some water.
Yep.
You got two hops. You got two malts, mm-hmm. And some ale yeast, and that was it. And obviously, every brewery has kind of had to do the, either had to or chosen to do their own spin.
Mm-hmm.
For us, the one tweak we had to make, the recipe called for Crystal 60 for the crystal malt in it. Mm-hmm. We don't use Crystal 60 here.
Okay.
We do have Crystal 40 and we have Crystal 77.
All right.
So we did a blend of C77 and C40.
Awesome.
To kind of bring it in there, which is why I think ours has a little bit more color than some of the others, because we use the C77 instead of the 60. You get a little bit higher level bond there.
Right.
But other than that, we stuck true to their recipe. Beer came out at, I think, 7.1% and 70 IBUs. And it's two classic West Coast hops. I mean, come on, man. Cascade and Centennial.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't Motueka or Mosaic or Eldorado or all these trendy hops people are using. These are classic West Coast hops. It's a clean IPA. It's got that nice pine, kind of pithy citrus grapefruit there.
So good.
And then with the crystal malt, which a lot of people have gone away from using crystal malt in their West Coast IPAs now. They're trying to showcase the hops and not the balance.
Right.
I love bringing the crystal malt back into it and balancing it out with a little bit of caramel malt sweetness there.
Amazing. Incredible. And Well, we've got the beer here right in front of us, so let's do what we do on this show. Let's take a look at this thing, right?
Cheers.
Cheers, man. Absolutely. I will tell you, first of all, like, I want to talk about the color of this beer, because you mentioned it, but it really is, it's remarkable. It's really pretty, and it's different.
It's, you know, it almost is just a shade darker than a Sierra Nevada Pale.
Yeah.
You know, you think about Sierra Nevada Pale, it's always had a little more crystal malt than most West Coast Pales, even though it's kind of the quintessential definer of the category.
Yeah.
So it very definitely, when we saw the recipe, you could tell it was influenced by Sierra Nevada. I mean, it was Cascade hops and they were still using crystal malt. I mean,
right.
it was Sierra Nevada.
That's so cool. Yeah, it's just beautiful. I mean, looking at it right now, it is transparent. It is pale, but it's got that beautiful amber, like that red tint to it. I mean, it's inviting in the glass just to look at it. So smelling it, which is what we always do next on the podcast. So wow, that's really incredible. So what I get from that, just really bright. You get those. We talk about citrusy and floral and things like that, but in this particular case, just really open and almost woodsy, I think, is maybe the
I could see that, absolutely.
Yeah, the descriptor that I would use for it. It's just, yeah, it makes me think of the outdoors, which I suppose is appropriate, you know, considering you know what we're talking about, and also this here in Nevada bent to it. So let's taste this thing. Let's see what it tastes like. Yeah, that's a really good beer.
Actually, I had my first one yesterday at our downtown tap room. I got a chance to try it out of the tank when it was being made, but finally got a chance to have it on tap yesterday for lunch. And I'm a huge Centennial fan, so this beer is near and dear to my heart. I think Centennial is one of the most underrated hops out there.
It's incredible. I mean, there is immediately you get the pine and the citrus that you would expect, right, in the style, but there's this really interesting bitterness that hangs around too, and it's a lot of times with IPAs we'll talk about bitterness that'll hang around on kind of the sides and the bottom of the tongue.
Get you here and here.
Yeah, and this is there. It goes there in the swallow, but it's also got just this really fragrant kind of. A combination of bitterness and just that aroma, that kind of piney aroma that sits right in the middle of my mouth and expands out and just kind of covers the whole swallow. That's a really interesting drinking experience. It's really good.
Well, and again, that's kind of going back to some of the creativity in craft beer now. Sometimes you don't need to make a kitchen sink beer.
Yeah.
You don't have to throw every ingredient at the beer. Sometimes very simple, straightforward, minimalist approach to a beer can make a really beautiful beer.
Yep. There's something that's a little bit, the word that I want to use is dark. And again, just fair warning, this is not a, we're not a beer science podcast. We just talk about what we taste when we drink
that's
a beer, right?
Yep.
And so, the word that I want to use is dark, not like dark, like a dark beer, like I'm drinking a stout or something like that. But there's something in there that's deep.
I was gonna say deep is the word I would use. It's not bright in your face hops on the aroma.
Yeah.
It does have a larger malt kind of component to it. A little bit of sweetness, a little bit of breadiness there. That used to be more prevalent in this style of beer like 10 years ago, and now people have gone away from it, really kind of drying the beer out and trying to just showcase the hops.
Yep.
It does have that depth to it, and the malt does add some additional layers. So, it's not just a one or two dimensional beer. There's some stuff going on.
No, it's incredible. I mean, and the more that I drink it, the more that I kind of taste other things as well. So, it's interesting how you can get something that's complex from something that's from an ingredient standpoint, right? Maybe more simple.
Yep.
Does that speak to the Does that speak to the brewing process, or does it just speak to the fact that maybe in general, sometimes, right, not always, but sometimes we overcomplicate these things, right?
Uh, I think it's a little of both. I mean, obviously, it speaks to the brewing process. Mm-hmm. If your process isn't dialed in, then it's not going to create this. So, yeah, it does speak to that. But no, I again, going back to, it doesn't muddy the waters.
No.
You know, sometimes if you throw too many ingredients at something, you don't taste any one of the ingredients. You just kind of taste this mishmash of them all blended together, which sometimes can be a really great thing.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes you're losing some of that character, where some of these ingredients should have just, they should have their own say. They should be able to kind of showcase, hey, here's a little citrus. Here's, you know, you get that little yeasty finish. You should, you don't need to drown out all the ingredients you're doing by adding more and more.
Yeah, it's,
some styles call for it. I don't think a West Coast IPA calls for throwing 9 different hops at a recipe.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I can say, you know, from tasting this, you know, it's a recipe that is well brewed. It's well put together, and it's a beer that's worth drinking. So listen, if you're out there and you're listening to this, get your hands on this, no matter where you are. If you're somebody, there's 1400 breweries right now that are brewing some version of this. Get your hands on it. It's an extremely worthy cause. There are people whose lives were devastated, and we're helping them out with this. But you know, even without that, it's a great beer. You should check this out. You've got an event that's going on coming up pretty soon.
We do, yeah. We're doing, like a lot of breweries, we're doing an event to try and raise more money beyond just the proceeds of the beer. So this is coming Wednesday, Wednesday night here at our brewery tap room. We're going to have the outdoor patio set up as kind of family seating event. We've got a barbecue pit coming in. Local guys donating the wood, donated the fire pit.
So cool.
We're going to be donating, again, obviously, all the proceeds from the resilience, but we're also going to be donating, Randy, is it a dollar? So we're going to be donating a dollar for either one of our Taco Truck beers, which are two of our most popular beers.
Yeah.
You know, Taco Truck Lager is by far and away our number one seller.
Great beers.
And so every pint of either of those beers bought that night on the patio, we're going to be donating a dollar to as well. We're going to have, you know, local first responders and fire truck out here decorated in Christmas lights.
Wow.
So, and again, whether it's our event or anywhere else you go, a lot of people, I'm sure, that listen to your podcast like to travel to breweries and try different stuff.
Yep.
You rarely get a chance to evaluate breweries based off of all of them doing the same recipe.
Right.
This is a unique experience for you right now. Unique opportunity to be able to go out and try the same recipe from some of your favorite breweries and see how each one of them kind of has their own little tweaks and their own little style to it. This is for you beer nerds out there, this is a great beer nerd opportunity.
Yes.
To really just kind of get into what these breweries do with the same recipe.
So cool. So cool. Scott, you know, thank you so much for being with me here
today.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming
out. I really appreciate it, man. I'm not going to eat up a ton more of your time. Got a couple more people that we definitely want to talk to today, but on our way out, anything else that you anything we didn't cover that we need to go into, man?
Not really. You know, I'll leave you with the same thing I tell everybody: support your local breweries, support local bars and restaurants that support local breweries. You know, whether it's here in the Central Valley and they're supporting Dust Bowl, or whether wherever you're listening. You don't have to go after the big name breweries out there. Go and support whoever your local brewery is. Find a beer that they're making that you like, and support them because they do good work. Other than that, happy holidays, everybody. Enjoy good beer. Support good beer for a good cause.
Thank you so much. And that is Scott Chafee. He is the sales manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. For Dust Bowl Brewing here in Turlock, that's going to have to be edited out now. Here in Turlock, California. Sometimes I just can't talk. It's the way it works. It's live audio. But thank you again so much for being here with us. It's amazing, and thanks for inviting us out.
Yep, absolutely. I hope you enjoy your day here.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Okay, well, we're back after all of that, and we just went through an amazing brewery tour with Scott. He walked us through the brewery. And I'm here with Sandra Hay, who is, she's the show's biggest fan. That's the bottom line. The show's biggest fan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
Oh, well, thank you for being here. As the show's biggest fan, you know, I have something for you. It's not much, unfortunately. But since you are the show's biggest fan, hold on one second. I brought you the biggest beer glass that I could possibly find.
This is the biggest beer glass ever.
It's a very giant beer glass. And in addition.
But my daughter is going to be so impressed.
I also have this. This is a coaster. It says, no working during drinking hours.
There you go.
And it's got a bottle opener on the back there for you. So there's a little token of our affection for you. Not only a giant supporter of the show, but a financial supporter of the show. Thank you so much for helping us through these first, I don't know, lot of episodes that we've done.
I'm just very impressed and with you and your choice to step out of a comfort zone and do something that you really love.
Well, thank you.
I think that's just amazing. And I brought you a gift, too.
I know. And this is beautiful. Thank you so much. There's a box here. It's much, much better than the
That's okay,
what
but
I just
love this big glass.
I'm like, I got to do something because she's a big fan. I got to do something big. Okay, so I'm opening the box, and there's glasses in it.
It's all about glasses when you're in your beer.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So let's open this up, and let's see what we've got in here. Not necessarily compelling audio, but I'll edit this all later.
Yeah.
Oh, and it says, it's a glass, and it says Andrew Burkham, 2-Minute Beer Review Podcast.
There you go.
Thank you so much, Sandra. I really appreciate this. It's really awesome.
Definitely need to have a glass, so when you do some video, you have your
That's
glass.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. So, but Sandra, tell me, so your beer experience, right? So, I know that you've been trying a lot of different beers lately. You've been doing a lot of different things. What kind of gets you excited in the beer space right now?
Well, you know, since listening to this podcast, I've really started thinking about what I'm drinking more so than I ever have before. Usually I'm just, order me a beer.
Uh-huh.
But without even thinking what I like and what I don't like. And now I feel like I'm a little more educated. And I found out that I really like IPAs. And I really like things that are more bitter.
Uh-huh.
And I am embracing stouts more than I ever have.
All right.
Yeah. And I was kind of disappointed that I kind of missed out on the stout that Dust Bowl here had in the fall that you reviewed. I'm like, I want to try that. Oh, they don't have it anymore. Okay, well, I'll look for it next time, perhaps.
Well, we just found out there's a distributor here in town that apparently, in Turlock, that apparently stocks, way overstocks that. So you may still be able to find it.
I'll have to on the way home and grab me one because I want to try that.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I just want to explore more, especially in the IPA range, is what's different about the IPAs and how much different they can taste. And I'm amazed to find how much different an IPA can be from one from the other.
That's awesome. That's so good. And, Sandra, while I've got you here, since we have an excuse already to have you on the show, you've got something that's going on pretty quick. We're doing a crossover here now with the Phoenix Talk Radio podcast. You've got an event that's coming up pretty quick. Tell me, what do you got going on down in Merced?
So I am directing It's a Wonderful Life, a radio play for Playhouse Merced. And we are going to be opening on Thursday over at the Multicultural Arts Center in Merced.
Mm-hmm.
We have a very small cast.
Yep.
So we have a few of our cast members who are doing multiple voices.
Awesome.
And have had to really work at having their voices different and consistent throughout the performance. and that has been really interesting to see them work that through and figure out those voices. And I think it's going to be a really great show.
So cool. So that's It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm-hmm.
It's playing down. Is it playing at the Mac?
Yeah, it's playing at the Mac.
Okay, so at the Merced Multicultural Arts Center right now, and you can check out tickets for that at playhousemerced.com.
Yes,
I think is where you can find tickets for that. So by all means, go and check that out. Support another gigantic fan of the show. Sandra, thank you for being here with me today.
Thanks
really
for calling me over to the mic.
Well, I'm like, hey, come over here, and she was like, what? But again, our biggest fan and somebody that I really appreciate. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll talk to you right after this. and I'm back, and we're here with Noelle Chandler.
Hi.
Yeah, she's the host of Geeking Out.
You guys already know me. Everybody knows me.
Oh, look at how much I have to turn you down.
Oh, am I loud? I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. It's just you're used to using the microphone.
I do know about a microphone, yes.
As
I
it
do.
Turns out.
Microphones are my friends.
Noelle, tell me about your experience today. What's going on here at Dust Bowl?
Well, first of all, I love the environment at this place. Like, it's just so, it's very family friendly, but also very clear that that what they do is beer. Beer is their business, and they do it well, but without without pretension.
Yeah.
Like, they have a lot of fun. And so I love coming in here. And so I'm watching kids play outside, which is my favorite part, but also sitting at a very kind of industrial, in a very industrial room with a lot of room around me. I don't feel confined. I don't feel conflicted in any way. And I just had, so I had a glass of the Resilience is what
I had.
And it was amazing. I'm not a huge hoppy beer fan.
Right.
But it really grew on me after the first, you know, couple of minutes. And it was so, so, so good. I honestly wish I could have another one. I have to go relatively shortly. Otherwise, I'd just be sitting here drinking all day. It was so great. And I love the food here as well. But I mean, then we got to go on this amazing tour, right? So I'm not a beer connoisseur, and so I learned a great deal just about how beer gets made. It was an amazing tour, and everyone was so nice to talk to and explained things really nicely. I'm a very smart person, so I feel like you could use relatively high language with me, but it's still, I feel like everyone could understand it. It was really, beer making is a complex and specific and yet a really fun process. I was excited to see it. It was really cool. And I feel like I'm going to be more informed now as I listen to stuff like the 2-Minute Beer Review with Andrew Burgum.
Excellent. And let's see, you're the host of the Geeking Out, a Steelers Idea podcast.
I am.
Where can we find that podcast?
We can find that podcast, as well as many others, on the Phoenix Podcast Network.
That's right.
Run by Mr. Andrew Burgum. He likes to say I'm the host, when in fact I intended for us both to be the host, but then he just starts the podcast and like leaves to get a beer and lets me do it.
It's good.
Which, it's not terrible. I mean, it works out well. We should record another one of those soon.
We should. I mean, and yeah, we'll do that.
Oh, yes, we should do that.
We'll
okay.
definitely do that.
One day when we're not all freaking out and busy.
Yes.
But we definitely will. No, it's a great podcast. It's a great network. So please listen.
Well, thank you for being here with us today, Noelle.
I appreciate
your perspective. And yeah, we will talk to you on the next Geeking Out a Steelers Idea podcast.
Woohoo. Thanks, everybody.
All right, we're here with Courtney Clements. She's a behind the scenes member of the 2-Minute Beer Review podcast. She's one of the what I like to call the tasting team. And so one of the things we do is if you've listened to the podcast, you've heard some of the live episodes, and so you've heard some of the live tastings. You've heard her voice, but she typically sits down with me. She will taste the beer and we'll compile our notes. And that's what we'll turn into the podcast. So, Courtney, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah, hey, tell me a little bit about your experience today here at Dust Bowl.
Oh, my goodness. If you guys have not come to Dust Bowl, you need to come to Dust Bowl. This has probably been one of the coolest experiences I've ever had. I've toured places before and seen different processes and things, but I think this by far has been the coolest experience ever. They have a lot of information, and you could tell that a lot of really hard work and thoughtfulness goes into every single one of their beers. It's not something that is just, you know, kind of thrown together. Even their beers that are like their standard beers, you can tell that there's a thoughtfulness process that goes on there. So this has been an experience that I don't think anything's going to be able to top in the near future.
Yeah, no, I think this pretty much does it. Like, this is the high point for the 2-Minute Beer Review. We can stop now and never make another episode. This is probably the last episode of the 2-Minute Beer Review.
But we will still taste all the beers.
Yeah, we're still going to taste all the beers.
Yeah, I'm not going to stop tasting the beers.
Yeah. So through the process of making this show, and as you've become kind of a part of the staff of the show, What are some things that you've kind of discovered about your beer tasting experience?
I used to be very close-minded about beer and beer styles, and there was, I didn't always try different things because I'd be like, oh, I'm not a fan of IPAs, so I just wouldn't drink IPAs. But after, you know, meeting Andrew and becoming such a big part of this and being able to taste different beers, first of all, so many beers taste completely different. Like, I can't believe how many flavors you can get into different beers. And then also, like, I just really would encourage people to not be close-minded. If you see something that you think you might like, try it. Like, or listen to the podcast and, like, man, you know, Andrew really described that beer, like, awesomely. I really want to try that. Try it, because I really think you will surprise yourself, because I have surprised myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for being a part of the team. And, yeah, it's just great to have your perspective on all the beers that we taste. That's Courtney Clements, again, a member of the 2-Minute Beer Review tasting staff. So, and we're back, and we're here with Patience Burkham, who is another member of the tasting team here at the 2-Minute Beer Review. Patience, welcome to the podcast once again.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Hey, tell me about your experience here at Dust Bowl today. I know you didn't get to go, unfortunately. You did not get to go on the tour, which is super cool. We will take you next time, I promise. But what do you think about this place, man?
I love this place. I always loved this place. Even before this place existed, I loved the downtown tap room.
Yep.
Dust Bowl is one of our favorite breweries, probably my favorite brewery. Love their beers.
Yep.
Great food. Good experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, what you tasted something today that was different. Talk to me about this beer that's right here in front of us.
I tasted a couple different things today, because we always get a sampler when we come to Dust Bowl, because they always have something interesting.
Right.
But I tasted something today called the Purple Brute, and it is the most beautiful beer I've ever seen. It's like this bluish purplish.
It's purple,
right? It almost looks like purple Gatorade, to be honest. It's gorgeous, and it's aromatic and floral and herbal, and just a lovely, lovely IPA. That to look at it, you wouldn't think it'd be a good beer. You'd think it'd be gimmicky, but it is. I ordered it, a whole glass of it, and enjoyed the whole thing.
And I would agree. I tasted it just now, and it's so interesting. It is, you use the word floral, but I mean, we think of floral typically in terms of scent, but it does really taste like a flower. Mm-hmm. And so really, really interesting. Very, very good. Anything else? Since you've started on the staff here at the 2-Minute Beer Review, anything you've discovered, anything interesting in particular that you'd like to share with the audience?
I think that my appreciation for different styles of beer has grown since we've started tasting more varieties. You know, instead of just going and picking the ones that we like and know we like, or the styles that we like, we tend to branch out a little bit more now just because of the podcast.
Yeah.
And I've enjoyed that. You know, obviously there's been ones that haven't been my favorite, but there's been a lot that I didn't expect to like at all, and then got into it and thought, oh wow, this is a great flavor, or this is a great style, and I otherwise wouldn't have tried it. So the podcast has been great in that sense, because I've tasted a lot more than I would have otherwise, and have discovered that I liked a lot more than I thought I did. I didn't realize I liked beer as much as I do.
Yeah. Well, and you know, when your crazy husband said a little less than 6 months ago, hey, I'm going to start a beer podcast, what did you think about that, and how has your perspective changed over the course of the last 6 months?
I thought it was a fantastic idea when my crazy husband said he wanted to start a beer podcast. My husband has a gorgeous radio voice, and I love listening to it. And also, he is very good with words and likes beer, so it just seemed like a great combo. But no, I'm very excited that you're doing it, and I'm still excited that you're doing it. I'm not sick of it. I think it's a great thing. I love the format. I love that it's informational and also entertaining, and I'm really glad you're doing it.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing some microphone time with me today. I appreciate it. And I'm going to let you go so you can get back to your beer.
All righty. Thank you.
Enjoy. All right. And we're back, and I'm here with Stephen Burkham. It's my son, in case you didn't know. Hey, Steve-o, how's it going, man?
Pretty cool.
Okay, cool. Hey, listen, you just got a chance to take the brewery tour here at Dust Bowl. What did you think about that, man?
Well, it's very interesting, the process.
Yeah.
I knew sort of the basics of how the process works, but it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Now, you're obviously too young to drink beer at 15, but you also have an interest in kind of the way things work and scientific things. Was there anything about the tour that particularly, like, was there a moment where you went, oh, that's really interesting? What was the most interesting thing from the tour?
I find it kind of interesting how, without any sort of... without any really sort of blades or anything, they kind of mash these, solid materials up just into liquid.
Yeah.
And they just sort of mix it in, and it becomes a complete liquid.
Yeah. Pretty cool, huh? All right. Well, hey, thank you for joining us here today. I appreciate it. Have you had some of the food here at the restaurant today?
Yes, it's really good.
Yeah, what'd you have, man?
Well, I had the barbecue tri-tip sandwich.
Oh, what'd you think of that?
It was very good. It's a barbecue sandwich, but it's not, too sweet. Ooh. One of the things I always don't like about that type of sauce is it's always too sweet. But this is like a good savory barbecue sauce.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, thank you for joining me here on the show today. And I will see you later at our house. Well, that's all we've got for today. Thank you so much for joining us here on the 2-Minute Beer Review. We hope that you can engage with us on social media and Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's the 2-Minute Beer Review. You can just search for us. You can find us there. You can email us at 2minutebeerreview@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing what you're tasting, what you're interested in, and most of all, what you think about the show. We hope you will join us next week when we find another interesting brew to taste and continue on our quest to taste all the beer.